Trent Lott announced today that he is stepping down as Republican leader in the Senate. Lott's resignation comes 2 weeks after he ignited a furor by making racially divisive remarks at a birthday celebration for retiring Senator Strom Thurmond. Lott is likely to be replaced by second-term Tennessee Senator Bill Frist. On one level, the Trent Lott story is about a political fall from grace. On a deeper level, though, it is a story that is repeated over and over again without resolution in our society, a story about our uncomfortable relationship with race and the troubled history of race relations in this country, a story that isn't Democratic or Republican, but rather touches every American, regardless of party affiliation.
And so last night, we gathered a group of people together in our studio to talk about the controversy and its implications. They work here in the District of Columbia, the nation's capital, and a city that has struggled with race throughout its history and still does. This group deals with that history every day. They all work with the Historical Society of Washington, D.C. We started our conversation by listening to what Trent Lott said at Strom Thurmond's birthday party.
I want to say this about my state. When Strom Thurmond ran for president, we voted for him. We're proud of it. And if the rest of the country had followed our lead, we wouldn't have had all these problems over all these years either.
When you all first heard that tape, what did you hear when Senator Lott said, "We have all these problems, we wouldn't have all these problems if Strom Thurmond had been elected"? What did that mean to you?
I'm Laura Schiavo. When I heard his comments, I was struck by what seemed to be a lack of historical understanding. I mean, I know that these were times that he lived through, but I don't think that that necessarily means he's understood what's happened, even in his own lifetime.
Shireen Dodson, these are not stupid men. He said what he meant, and he meant what he said. There's no misunderstanding. There's no lack of historical context on his part. He was in a situation where he was comfortable. He was partying and enjoying himself. This was his good buddy. And he was relaxed and said what he meant and then couldn't take it back.
I'm Sam Black. He meant exactly what he said. It was sort of a window into an informal and sincerely believed conviction. And unfortunately, that window was not meant to be open to the public. That window was only meant to be open to other people who believed the same way. Like, it's sort of the equivalent, the political equivalent of a locker room conversation about girls in high school. And having said that, now that kind of privately expressed opinion is out there for everybody to react to.
Can I ask the Blacks in this group a very specific question? And that is, I guess I'm wondering how you've reacted, sort of just your gut level reaction to the entire controversy. And that is, did it anger you? Did it sadden you? Does it feel painful to you that yet again this is happening? Or does it feel like this is America, this is just the way it is?
Thornell Page, I wasn't surprised. I expect it occasionally.
But I guess beyond surprise, is there anything about this particular controversy that's any more difficult, painful, frustrating than any other controversy that ever erupts about race, which controversy about race just continually seem to come up in this society?
It just takes it to a higher level, that's all. And I don't think it's necessarily limited to Republicans. It's a political thing, and Republicans just got caught on it.
This is Barbara Franco. I think I have to go back to the original statement that he made, which is those problems. I always want to know in something like that, what are these problems that we're talking about? And is it about race? Is it because there are black people in inner cities? Or is it because there is racism that has created an entire system, an entire culture in which we have really undermined the ability to go on and have the kind of democracy that we have set out to create?
I'm curious about this particular group because clearly you're a very sophisticated group. You're interested in history. Talking about history gives you a way to talk about race, a way into this discussion that maybe other people don't have. But what happens when you go home to your neighborhoods?
I'm Nidra Lee, and I live in a pretty segregated side of the city. I live east of the river. And it's pretty impoverished. There's a lot of crime there. And I can honestly tell you that in my neighborhood, which used to be a segregated neighborhood that's now all black except for one person, one white person in my entire neighborhood, and there's no discussion about race. So when I come to work, I have to say that I bring a lot of the baggage from living in an environment like that to work and having to deal with, you know, and to bring that to the table. I mean, I can't really separate it. I can't separate those two things because I am a product of my environment and that influences me and that has a lot to do with it.
Kate Damon. It's interesting because I'm actually from Charlottesville, Virginia, so I'm about 2.5 hours south. But I grew up, my dad's an anthropologist, and I grew up in a very, very diverse home. So when I came to Washington, I really was colorblind. And I kind of had lived my life, you know, thinking that everybody is just, you know, a person and they're just kind of going along. And in my neighborhood, we talk about slavery at community meetings. And that, like the first meeting that I went to, I was so flabbergasted that we were still talking about that. And I couldn't believe it because I really thought that we were moving forward.
I really have to ask how a neighborhood meeting, why slavery came up. I mean, what was the context?
Well, it was somebody standing up and kind of taking it back to, you know, when, way back when. Basically that, you know, when my family, we were slaves, and it was scary because I didn't think that we're still talking about that.
Scary. I'm just curious. Why was it scary?
I guess because I felt like I was being attacked, like it was my fault that, you know, we once had slavery. And I'm ashamed that we had once had slavery. I mean, I'm disgusted. It's disgusting. It's gross to think about that we treated people like they weren't human beings. You know, I didn't grow up like that, you know, and everybody was equal and even, and, you know, whether you were a man, a woman, black, white, green, polka dot, whatever, you were equal. And, you know, I guess now living here in Washington and having traveled around the country more, like I've realized that much of our country is segregated. And even now looking back at Charlottesville, it's very segregated, you know, and it's disturbing. And sometimes I wish that I could go back to thinking that it was okay and where, you know, everybody's just equal and that we don't still need to have that discussion. But we do need to have that discussion and people need to talk about it. I mean, it's a hard thing to talk about. It's a really hard thing to talk about.
Nidra.
But see, I think we need to do more than just discuss. I mean, I think people should start moving towards action. You know, we can discuss all we want, but unless after discussion's over, if you're going back and still practicing some of the same things that you've done before, then a discussion was done in vain. I mean, what I would like to see is actually somebody to come to my neighborhood and to see how police officers don't come. How if I call the cops, they won't come and about until 15, 20 minutes later after what I've called for. Or I would like for somebody to come and see how off of H Street, there's not one decent restaurant or how there's not one decent, you know, place for me to go and buy clothes. How everything is either a liquor store or a beauty salon or a carryout. How there's a complete difference from how Georgetown or how Connecticut Avenue was set up versus how 8th Street is set up. See, these are things that I see as some form of institutionalized racism. And until I see actions being moved to clean that up, then I'm not seeing a difference. I mean, I'm talking about long-lasting change where everybody can partake in it and, you know, reap the benefits of it.
Wilbur Glover here. I want to go back to the discussion that Kate was having where she walked into this, it sounds like this minefield where people started talking about racism and slavery, and she said that she felt ashamed. I don't want you to feel ashamed because you didn't own any slaves. But what I want you to understand is my pain because we, as African Americans, from the way I see it, we came out of slavery running. We have never had an opportunity to mourn. Yeah. And sometimes I feel like what we need to do, that my people need to just go to the on the mall and have a day of mourning so we can understand what happened to us. And I have always understood slavery. It was an economic thing. I can understand that everybody practiced that. But one of the things I never understood, and I remember asking my mother, why do the whites hate us? They have everything. They got the best schools. They got the best books. I don't understand why they hate us. I don't understand when they hung us, why did they mutilate our bodies like they did? Do you understand what I'm saying? Nobody has ever answered those questions for me. I understand slavery. I'm willing to let that go, let the nation go. You understand? And I think that what we need to do is just go somewhere and just cry without somebody accusing us of being weak, without somebody criticizing our behavior. I remember as a kid, I used to look at America as the mother of us all, and I was this kid that she didn't want. So I straightened my hair, and that wasn't right. I bleached my skin, and that wasn't right. I used to say ain't and taint and y'all, and then I fixed my language, and that wasn't right. And then there was a time I just gave up on America. I got mad at it, and then that wasn't right. You understand what I'm saying? I don't want you to feel guilty, but when I cry and when I say it hurts, I want you to hear me. That's all, you know, not feel bad because you didn't do anything.
Yeah.
See, just but hear my pain. That's all I'm saying, you know.
I hear your pain.
You didn't do a single thing. You are as much victim as I am.
I wonder if that's one of the reasons why discussions about race are so difficult. Because for Black America, those discussions often come from a place of pain.
Yes.
And for white America, they wind up often on the defensive. Sam, I want to put that question to you because you represent the District of Columbia, and I'm wondering if you've had that experience. You find yourself, you want to have this discussion, but you're not quite comfortable, you don't know what to say.
A little. Do I sit and squirm sometimes? Yes.
Why? What exactly is it that causes you to squirm, that makes you uncomfortable?
It's situational. As several people in the room have said, in our society, whites have had more power. It was an accident that I was born white, but there's nothing I can do about it.
We're going to take a brief break right now, but we'll be back with more of our discussion about race in America in just a moment on All Things Considered.